Waking up. Well, we woke up to snow today. Well, I guess it started yesterday, but we woke up to the end of it this morning. Romans 13, 8 to 14 is our text today. It's, as I mentioned earlier, the first Sunday in Advent. And during the season of Advent, we think about Jesus' first advent, his first arrival, his first coming. And we also think about how we are waiting and looking forward to his second advent, the second time that he will be with us. And that time will be the last. He will be with us forever then, those who are trusting in him. And as we think about waiting for Jesus to return, there are a lot of things that we need to wait for in life. As we are in this season, we wait for Christmas. As we, you know, as kids are getting older, they have to wait till they can drive. Oh, I want to be able to drive. I've got to wait till I can drive. You might have to wait for someone at some point. You know, maybe after church this morning, you'll have to wait for someone else to stop talking, and you know, before you can go, you might be waiting for them. And one thing I'll take this opportunity. One thing I forgot to announce earlier is, if you are waiting for somebody, you'll have something to do today. You can help bring down Christmas trees and ornaments because we'll set them up today. So if you're waiting for somebody to stop talking so you can leave, help set up the Christmas trees. Anyway, that's just a little announcement there. We wait, right? We wait at different times. What is our waiting like? Do we wait patiently? There are times when we need to wait patiently. Are we waiting excitedly? We're excited for what's coming. We might have to do both. We're excited for it, and we have to wait patiently. We might occupy ourselves with doing something while we wait so that the waiting doesn't seem as long. Sometimes that's what we do, and that's where we have the opportunity today to set up those trees. In our Romans text here, we have Paul leading up to our time of waiting, thinking about our time of waiting. In light of salvation, in light of what God has done for us, we might ask the question, how do we live? How do we live as we're waiting for God? We live as living sacrifices. Paul says that in chapter 12 as he opens that. Maybe that's a verse that you memorized. Many have, the beginning part of verse 12. Live as living sacrifices given to God, serving one another with gifts that God has given, loving one another. Paul goes on, not paying back evil with evil, but paying back evil with good, or waiting for the good, working for the good. Submitting to governing authorities, serving God, keeping order so that things are peaceful. All of these are ways that we live out what God has done in our lives. And then it leads up to our text today, which in some ways is a summary of living a Christian life, of our living of life. And it can also kind of serve as a gauge for us to measure how we live our lives, in particular as we wait for Jesus to come again. How do we live our lives? How do we wait for Jesus? Romans 13, 8 to 14 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Romans 13, 8 to 14. Reading in Jesus' name. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for this instruction for us, but also the reminder of what we're waiting for as well, as we see that here and as we look into this text and discover how we can wait for Jesus to return and what that means for us. We ask that you would guide us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I want to invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. Come on up. All right. Come on. Yeah, there's a spot up here. Got to make his way, got to take the difficult route to the chair around the music stand. There was an easier way, but take the hard way, right? All right. Hey, what do I have in this picture here? Do you guys see? What is this? A Christmas tree. Do you guys see that Christmas tree? What else is in that picture?
Presents.
Now there's a star on the top of the Christmas tree. There's some ornaments. There's presents. What's the most exciting thing for you on this picture here, do you think? Presents. You know, most of us say presents. Yeah, that's true. There's words on this paper, too. Ornaments. Yeah, we got ornaments, too. Who likes the tree itself the best of everything in this picture? You like the tree? Who likes the ornaments? Who likes the... You guys like all of it. That's great. Who likes the star? Yeah, you like the star. Who likes the presents? Yeah. Oh, some of you just aren't... Do you not like presents? You don't like... When it gets to be Christmas, I don't know if any of you have a Christmas tree up yet, or if you have presents there yet. Maybe over the next few weeks you're going to get that going. When you're waiting for Christmas, if you're waiting for Christmas, is it hard to wait? Is it hard to wait? You see those presents under the tree, and you think, I want to open those presents. What do you do while you're waiting? What do you do while you're waiting? What do you think?
Read a book.
Read a book? Does that distract you from thinking about the presents? Yeah? We're thinking about today, we're waiting for, well, let me ask you in this way. What is the greatest present that we've ever had, that God has ever given us? I think you know the answer, right? Jesus, right? Yeah, that's the greatest gift. And we're still waiting for Jesus again, right? Is Jesus going to come a second time as a little baby? No, he's not, but he's going to come back again, and it's going to be great when he does, because we all get to be in heaven if we're trusting in him. It's hard to wait, though, sometimes for that. And so we want to be thinking about how we can do that well. Okay, thanks for coming up. Could you hand those out for me? Would you want to hand those out? Okay, thank you. All right. Okay, thanks for coming up. You guys can grab one of those and go back to your seats. All right. All right. It's hard to wait sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to wait for good things. When we know that something good is coming, maybe you have something, maybe you can think back to a time where you had something coming up that you were looking forward to, but you had to wait. You had to wait. Maybe it's a holiday time when you're looking forward to time with family. You have to wait. For kids, sometimes it's going to maybe the grandparents' house. You got to wait. I'm not there. And maybe you have to travel. Some of you maybe have had to travel doing that. Then you have to wait through the whole time traveling. If you're the one that has people over, you have to wait. When are they going to get here? How do we live as we wait? As we think about waiting for Jesus' return, we start here first with an instruction from Paul on how to live our lives. That's what we have here first. Not just living for ourselves and how we live a good way for ourselves, so living the right way ourselves, but how do we live well in relation to other people? Because that's a part of it. That's a part of living life, is how we live in relation to other people. How do we see those relationships? And he starts out this way, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Now, let me just get out of the way this, that he's not giving us financial advice or instruction to not ever take out a loan. But when you do take out a loan, if you do take out a loan, you have terms of paying that back. And he's simply saying, pay back what you owe when it's time to pay it back. That would be an appropriate way to understand what he's saying here. But he just briefly said that. Let no debt remain outstanding. He's not focusing on that. What he's focusing on is one thing that does remain outstanding. And he says the continuing debt to love one another. Why is this a debt that is outstanding? Well, as much as we may pay it, it's still there. The debt to love one another is still there. We continue. It's a continuous thing. It never runs out. It's how God has designed relationships to be. Relationships of love that continue. It's not like we do that one time and then we're done. It continues. And so we talk some more about this. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. If we think about the law as obligations that we have and things that we owe to God, he says love encompasses all of that. Last week, Pastor Andy described some of the sacrifices that were required for sin, and especially in the Old Testament, before Jesus offered that one-time sacrifice, it was continuous because there was always a need for more. And then there is the once-and-for-all sacrifice given by Jesus. As we think about that, as we think about what God has done to forgive our sins and the fact that our sins continue on and they need forgiveness of sins, and even Jesus' once-and-for-all sacrifice continues to need to be applied to our lives because we continue to live imperfect lives. This is another side of something very similar. Now, this continuing debt to love one another is always there. We always fall short of that. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would say we always fall short. But the debt is there to love one another. And so how do we love one another? Paul says the commandments, and he lists some of them. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And he says whatever other command there may be. All of this is summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. All these commandments are summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. As much as you care about yourself, taking care of yourself, love those who are around you as well. That's a tough challenge for us. It's helpful to have that as a reminder of how we treat one another. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. We might reflect on that. What does that mean? Love does no harm to a neighbor. But we also have the positive side of this. Not only what we don't do to others, but we do. And Jesus, as he was talking about the law, he talked about the positive requirement of the law as well. Not just what we don't do, but what we do towards others. Do not harm, but then do good. Jesus talked a lot about that. As we study the commandments in confirmation, we find that the meaning of the commandments includes both what we don't do and what we do. Murder. What does it mean to not murder? Well, that we don't harm anybody in any way, but not only that, but we take care of one another in all of their needs. We help our neighbor in every need. So there's a negative and a positive, and that is all involved in love, in loving one another. So Paul is giving us this as a way to think about how we live our lives in this life as we're in light of what God has done for us. This continuing debt to love one another, it might weigh on us, actually, if we're honest again. It might feel like a weight. There might be times where loving someone requires something that we don't want to do, possibly. And it's true that we are forgiven for those times that we fail. At the same time, we still want to live up to that debt. Will the debt ever end? Will it never end, we might ask? Or maybe we might ask, will the difficulty in fulfilling this debt never end? In this life, it's a challenge to always to be thinking about others. Well, Paul now turns to something else, and as he's talking about all of these ways that we live in light of what God has done for us, he turns to something else that maybe completes our perspective and maybe helps us to live in a way, and live in this way, loving one another. He says, and do this, understanding the present time. Or, you know, maybe we see that as reflecting back on what he's just said. Do this, love one another, understanding the present time. It's probably also, or maybe as accurate to translate this, what he says in Greek is a little, very simple. And so it's a very simple translation. You kind of have to fill in a little bit in English. But it might be just as well to translate, and this, as in everything I've been telling you about living Christ, a Christian life, a life as a Christian, here, and this. Focus on this as well, and this. In our actions to love one another, never forget something. This is what Paul wants us focusing on. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. To wake up, he says. What is our slumber? What is the slumber that he's talking about? Our slumber is this world, this life. We feel awake. I mean, I woke up this morning. I feel awake. I don't feel like I'm sleeping right now. But there's a whole lot of this life that we don't like. There's a whole lot in life that is not fun, that is not good, that is not, and our attention can be drawn also to unimportant things. And in that sense, these things that weigh down on us can be kind of a kind of that fog of sleeping, of a you know, could be in the worst circumstances feel like a nightmare as we're in this world. We also can be distracted from the things that are above, the godly things in this world, as we're distracted by other things in this life. And so we might be tempted to go through this life just thinking about how to enjoy what's here in life. That's what Paul is talking about when he's talking about our slumber. Living in this life where things are, we're separated from God in a way. We can't see him. We can't be with him directly. So Paul says, in this time of slumber, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, we are already saved if we're trusting in Christ, right? In that sense, our salvation is already complete if we're trusting in his sacrifice. But Paul is looking forward now to the day when our salvation is perfect, when we are perfect. In the reading from Isaiah this morning, we heard about the ending of all wars, of all nations at peace. Beyond that, we might think of the end of sickness and death, and the end of all of that. Isn't that something to look forward to? I would say, considering the sickness and death that we have in this world, to live without sickness and death and war and all of that is like waking up to something really good. Compared to heaven, what we are currently living in is like sleep. But salvation is near, nearer than when we believed. Every day we're getting closer, and it could be at any time. Paul says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The night is almost over. The night is now. So he's looking at this world as the night, but the day is almost here. It's almost here. 18 years ago maybe in Montana, in the mountains, in a cabin. I was laying in bed, freezing cold. Laying on a bunk in a cabin in August, but freezing cold. I had taken a sleeping bag that probably made me colder than what I would have been without it. That's how bad the sleeping bag was. And, I got down even in the cabin, like into the 30s this time. I was not prepared for that. And I was laying there, and I woke up, and my feet got cold, and I was trying to stay warm, and I just, with cold feet, I can't go back to sleep. And I was just thinking, what time is it? It's the middle of the night. I'm not going to sleep. And as it's getting closer to morning, I'm thinking, I see the first, rays of light. It's getting a little bit lighter. And I'm thinking, all right, good. It's almost daytime and I can reasonably get up, right? I can reasonably get up and wake up and get moving and get to the day. That's where we are in this world. We are at that point of seeing those first rays of light. We might not always be shivering, although this is a good day for that type of illustration, right? Shivering with cold, trying to stay warm. But we see the daylight. And we're kind of just hovering at that point, seeing those first rays of light. You know, it's been this way for 2,000 years. It's almost, I see the first rays of light coming. But it's almost here. And as Paul and others talk about Jesus' second coming and eternity and entering into that, they will often talk about this in two ways. And one of them is as if they will be alive when Jesus comes again. Even though we know now they're not. So Paul will talk about those who are alive and include him in the number of those who are alive when Jesus comes again. When he comes again, we will see him. He also includes himself in the number of those who will die and be raised on the last day. We will be raised. We can talk about it in both ways and expect either one of those to be true. The day is almost here. If Jesus comes back tomorrow or today, we think about the reading from Matthew that says it could come at any time and we will be surprised when he comes again. That reading highlights the suddenness with which he comes back. If he comes back tomorrow, he'll be here and we will be in eternity. If not, at some point, we will die. If we are not alive until when he comes back again, we will die. And at that point, we enter into the daytime fully. We look forward to that day as something that is better than even the best that this life has to offer. Better than the best in this life. If you've watched the show Survivor, Jeff, the host, he'll introduce a challenge, and sometimes there's a reward at the end of the challenge. And he'll say, worth playing for? Of course it is. You know, they want the reward that's at the end of the challenge. Only one team will get it, you know. Is it worth playing for? As we hear the description of the daytime that is to come, we might ask the question, worth living for? Is it worth living for, even in this life? Paul says, in light of what is coming, he says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's worth living for. More than the debt of love, though that is a good start, as an obligation to love one another, let's think about it a different way. We think about it as living already in the reality of heaven. Put aside the deeds of darkness, of sin. The best of this life, even, is tainted with sin. Put that aside. He talks about the armor of light. And though he doesn't detail it here, I would imagine he probably has in mind some of the things that he wrote to the Ephesians, as you might remember, the armor of God that he talks about there, the armor of light, the word of God, righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, all of those things. Put those things on, the helmet of salvation. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Not just thinking about daytime as in, you know, we think about the nighttime as the place where thieves do their work, right? And the daytime where, well, you have to be honest because people see you, right? You don't have as much chance to escape, so you have to be honest, right? But not just in that sense. That's the daytime. But not just daytime in that sense. Reflecting the daytime that will soon be here. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. It's interesting, he's writing this to believers. Some of these are pretty severe. Others, maybe seemingly less so. But he says, stay away from them all. And the worst of these, as he's writing to believers, and we here are believers, Are we likely to do these things? Some of the worst of these? Carousing, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery? Well, probably not. But even some of the most famous preachers have been caught in some of these things. Ravi Zacharias, famous expert apologist for the Christian faith, after his death was discovered that he had multiple cases of sexual abuse that he was the perpetrator of. And it's hard to use his teaching anymore because of that, the damage to that witness. It's well for us to be warned about those things. And so Paul says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We are clothed with him as we receive new life, as we receive salvation. As I mentioned before, we're already saved. We already have salvation, but we're looking forward to the completion of it. And as we already are clothed in Christ, in his righteousness, we also clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, a clothing for daily living, that our actions would reflect his own actions. We might use the words justification and sanctification as we think about being made right with God and then the way that God works in us to live according to what he has done. Both involve a clothing with the Lord Jesus Christ, a clothing of ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't think about gratifying the desires of the flesh, Paul says. Much easier to do when we are looking for the daytime, when we are waking up to the reality that awaits us. It's much easier to do that. So how do we live as we wait for eternity? Do we simply live out our lives, working, playing, enjoying family and friends, focused on this time that is here? Or do we live in view of the hope that is to come, waking up to that reality, waking up each day, waking up, literally waking up each day, thinking about waking up and living with eternity in mind, loving our neighbors as we will in the daytime, as we see the day approaching. We ask God then to clothe us with Jesus Christ so that that is how we live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessing that we have to live in relationship to others. We thank you for the blessing of the daytime that is almost here, that we know that when we are trusting in you, whether you come again in our lifetime or whether we die and are joined with you, that perfection awaits. Your salvation is perfect and it awaits us. And so we ask that we would live our lives here on earth with that in view, that our lives would reflect the reality of the daytime that is to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.